Yeah, I know it's Monday, but I just, you know, after the win yesterday, I couldn't bring myself to play Manic Monday. So we're going to open this show with Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now by Starship. There have been people who have criticized me for the emphasis that I place on the emotional aspect of football. Like, I don't know anything about sports. Like who the hell are you, Scoot? You don't know anything about sports. No, it's about statistics. It's about the players. It's about the matchups. I mean, what about this emotion thing? I mean, what are we turning into? Like, it's emotion. It's all about emotion. No, I've talked to people in football. I've talked to NFL players. And they've told me that it is about emotion. And yesterday, that point was absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. So we'll talk about that this afternoon. Also, there was a guy running around a Christmas festival in Florida shouting, "There's no Santa Claus!" A Christmas festival. Kids are there. Parents are there. Shouting, "There's no Santa Claus!" A Fort Myers television station used a woman's cell phone video to show the man screaming, "Santa Claus does not exist." And this has been done recently in shopping malls. I haven't heard about it this year, but last year we talked about it on the show, that there were people, men in particular, and I don't think it's a male gender thing necessarily, but men do it, so we mention it, that feel the need to go to a shopping mall, and while the kids are waiting to sit on Santa's lap, they say, "There's no Santa Claus." They go out of their way to explain to the kids and the adults there, "There's no Santa." So the police were called in to Florida, and they said there's nothing they can do because the man's comment about there being no Santa Claus was protected by the First Amendment. And as much as I hate what the guy said and the motive of him doing it, yeah, I mean, it's protected by the First Amendment and he's out on a public street. So what are you going to do? But if you're a parent and somebody does this, what would you do? And would you say something to your kids? And what if somebody shows up and says in a situation like this, "There's no Santa Claus," and your kids ask a question? What is it that you would tell them? You know, as a parent, you've got to be prepared with answers. And so we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but I think we'll come up with some things that you can do should this happen. Because if you're a parent, people want to blame society for the things that their kids are exposed to. But part of the reason for their frustration is they don't know how to answer. Like, I constantly hear whenever the topic of gay rights comes up, "Well, what do I tell my child if my child sees two men kissing?" Well, I think you ought to figure it out if you're a parent. What if your kid's watching television and there's two foreign leaders, two men kissing each other? It happens right there on TV, men kissing each other. What are you going to tell them? Well, okay, figure it out. There's something that you can tell them. Also, comedian actor Kevin Hart told them to shove the job of hosting the Oscars. They announced that he was going to be the host. 2 days later, he said he quit, and this was over the controversy over past anti-gay jokes. I don't know what the jokes are, but they were apparently a decade old. So should a celebrity be judged by anti-jokes that he told 10 years ago? Is that something that should disqualify you? And then I thought we would have a little fun. Since it's Monday, and it is a beautiful day, nice and cool outside, it's a beautiful day, I thought in the last hour we'd talk about who do you think would be the ideal host? Because you and I don't get to pick. But who do you think would be the ideal host for the Oscars? And who do you think would be the worst? I mean, who would be the absolute worst person to host the Oscars? And somehow I have a feeling that politics is going to come into play there, but we'll get into all of that a little bit later. By the way, I heard the name mentioned today. I mentioned this name a year ago on this show. And when we have talked about possible candidates for president in 2020, I've talked about one in particular. I've talked about a few. I've talked about Ben Sasse, a senator from Kansas. I've talked about a few others who are Republicans. But the Democrats, with the exception of Joe Biden, the Democrats seem to be void of a really prime candidate. And I've mentioned this guy's name. I think I started mentioning it about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And I heard today for the first time that there's a hint that he may run for president in 2020. And I think this is a great selection. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. He's a businessman, but he's not like Ray Nagin. He's a businessman, but he's not like Donald Trump. He's a businessman. He was a very successful mayor of Denver. In fact, he owned a number of restaurant beer pubs, very successful restaurant beer pubs. And guess what? He did the right thing. He divested himself of all of that when he became mayor of Denver. Wasn't involved in it directly anymore. I mean, imagine that. That's kind of a strange concept, right? You're in business, and then you become a politician, and then you shouldn't be doing both, right? Well, that's what John Hickenlooper did. And he's been, as far as I know, he's been a very successful governor of Colorado. What I like about the guy is that he's not progressive. He's not conservative. He's a Democrat who's in the middle. He's a Democrat who is a maverick moderate. He's a Democrat that seems like he may have the ability to bring this country together. And that's what a lot of people are looking for. Not everybody, but some are looking for that. So anyway, you'll start hearing the name more and more often. And when you look at John Hickenlooper's record compared to other Democrats who are thinking about running for president in 2020, you can't even compare them. You can't even compare them. So anyway, it's something to watch. All right, first up on the show today, come on, let's talk about it. The Saints win yesterday. That was amazing. And how were you feeling in the first half? I know, me too. Because this was a game where the Saints were supposed to come out and show that losing to Dallas was just a fluke. Well, in that first half, it didn't look like much of a fluke. The Saints were behind in the first half to Tampa Bay, 14-3. The Saints, with our running game, with that offensive line that has done so well, with Kamara and with Ingram, with the threat of the pass, the Saints' running game rushed for 3 yards in the first quarter. Three. One, two, three. I mean, that's just inconceivable. But it happened. And then I thought, okay, well, the Saints are going to go in at halftime and they're going to regroup and Sean Payton's going to tell them what needs to be told and they're going to come out on fire. Oh, they came out like a dud. What happened? The Saints get the ball, beginning of the second half, first possession, fumble, and the Bucs recover. And thank God the defense held them to a field goal try. And the field goal was no good, which was awesome because it was certainly within range. Guy missed the field goal. So that was a big moment for the Saints. However, when Taysom Hill, number 7, rushed through that opening in the line and flew out there like he was Superman, the guy was flying through the air with his arms up, just like Superman used to fly through the air. He blocked the punt. That's the moment it all changed. Why? Because emotion plays a key role in winning football games. You can match up the stats. You can match up the players, and you can say this player is better than this player, and this offensive line is bigger than this defensive line, and so this is what's going to happen. No, wrong. It doesn't always happen that way. Because emotion plays a really big part in all of this. Emotion plays a big part in everything in life. Whether you're in sales or you're an NFL football player, it doesn't matter what you do. Emotion plays a big role in what you do. And so don't discount this because sometimes people get too confident thinking they're better than somebody else. I see it in my business. Sometimes people are cocky because they think they're better than somebody else and they don't have the emotion to do the show. They don't have the emotion to make the sale. So did the Saints demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt yesterday that emotion is a key factor in winning? If you would like to join us with your comment, your thoughts, our number is 260-1870. Our text number is 870-870. I'm Scoot. And we've got some fun music. In fact, a great song coming out of this break that really does address the emotional aspect of not only football, but everything in life. All right, Monday afternoon, December 10th, I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. That was Taysom Hill yesterday. He came to the Saints' emotional rescue. All right, you want to hear it? Yeah, let's hear this one more time. I mean, what a moment. If you were listening on WWL Radio, if you were watching on television and listening on WWL Radio, here is the moment Taysom Hill blocked the punt.
Fourth and three, anger out to punt, and it's blocked! Taysom Hill is through with the punt block, and the Saints recover at the 30-yard line, and that's the kind of play this team needed in this game.
Put him at quarterback or tailback and let Taysom, it's the Taysom Hill show.
And Zach Streif was exactly right, because before that, the Saints were totally lethargic. I mean, that was painful to watch. And even coming out in the second half, they were lethargic. I don't know what was going on. It scares me a little bit that it took that to fire the Saints up. Because if you're going to be a championship team, and if you're going to get to the playoffs, and if you're going to continue on the road to the Super Bowl, you can't just wait around for a moment like that to happen. You've got to make those moments happen on your own. You've got to find that from within. Anyway, it was just a great moment. Here's our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Did the Saints play after the blocked punt by Taysom Hill prove that emotion is a key to the Saints winning? 100% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And look, I'm not discounting sports experts, but I resent when people who think they know, there are people who know more about football than I do in terms of the X's and the O's. And there are people who know more about past stats than I do. I'm an avid fan, and I don't pretend to be any more than that. And when I talk about the Saints, it's from that perspective, an avid fan. But I also pay attention. And I also know that not only in sports, but in life, emotion has a lot to do with whether you win a game or a sale or a position or anything in life. Because somebody can be better than you, and you can win if you've got the stronger emotion. That's why the Cowboys beat the Saints. And that's why the Saints were not playing well until Taysom Hill blocked that punt. If you would like to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Marrero, Herbert, you're on WWL.
Yes, Scoot, I believe you are 1,000% correct. Emotion plays a huge role. Man, I remember one time we were playing and we were lined up, no pads or nothing. I was so fired up. On the kickoff, I just flew out like Superman, hit this guy. He went flying in the air, broke my collarbone. But I was still so happy, man. It was all about emotion.
I mean, I think they picked up Taysom Hill at the Tampa Bay Airport on radar. I mean, he was in the air. They picked him up on radar, approach control.
But let me say this right quick, Scoot. I think the Saints' problem then, I think Drew Brees has been worried about that MVP, man. That would top off his career. But now, I think I don't think he's going to worry about that anymore. And Drew Brees is going to be back to normal. Watch what I tell you.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'm glad you called. We, Saints fans, would love to see Drew Brees win MVP in the NFL. But that doesn't win games. And if somewhere, and I don't know because I don't know Drew. I don't have personal conversations with Drew. But I know that people even subconsciously put themselves under a lot of pressure to perform. And if even on a subconscious level, if Drew Brees ever gets to the point where he's trying too hard, and maybe that's what happened in the game against the Cowboys. If you try too hard, man, you're going to blow it. I don't care whether you're trying to make a sale, you're trying to fix a car, you're trying to play a football game. If you try too hard, you're going to blow it. And sometimes it's not easy to not try too hard. But whatever it is that you're doing, if you try too hard, you're going to blow it. And so maybe Brees was trying to, again, I don't know, and it's not really fair to speculate. Anyway, here's what Drew Brees had to say after the game about Taysom Hill blocking that punt.
Yeah, listen, you call those momentum-changing plays, right? And I think we all recognize that, you know, when you have those games where, man, you're just struggling to get something going and just need one thing to just ignite the team, ignite the sideline, and get you going. And obviously that was a huge play in the game because we go down, score a touchdown, and I think scored on every possession after that.
Yeah, it was awesome. But have you thought about this? What would have happened if he hadn't blocked that punt? The Saints were not even looking close to the team that they have been. So while I'm thrilled it happened, let's just remember how big emotion plays when it comes to football. You got a comment, thoughts this afternoon? Our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. From Hammond, Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how are you doing?
Good.
I just kind of wanted to say, I agree that the Taysom Hill punt turned things around for the Saints yesterday, but I think the Tampa defense isn't getting enough credit for what they did. The front four was much improved, and JPP came out to play. And I do think weather was a factor considering Santos, the Tampa kicker. He missed two field goals that day, and he hadn't missed any as a Buck at all before that day. I do think it turned things around as far as momentum, but that also kind of caused Tampa's defense to face pressure for the first time all day. And, on the other side, Saints defense played really, really great considering that it could have been much worse than being down by 14 points.
Yeah, it could have been. And certainly the defense did its job against the Cowboys, but suddenly the offense was null and void.
I think the weather kind of took the Saints' offense out of their element a little bit early on. But one thing that we've really seen week by week is that Saints' defense has continued to improve. And and they really are among one of the league's best at this point of the year, which is
Jesse,
amazing.
I know. I'm going to have to leave it there because I've got news coming up. We're going to play the Choppa-style song coming up right out of this break. I'm Scoot on WWL. Choppa style, it's a song that, it's an old song, maybe 10 years old. This is a Choppa style, the original featuring Master P. And Saints fans are dancing to this. In fact, Saints players were dancing to this. So let's add this to the list of Saints songs that we get excited about playing. Also, a little bit later in the show, I had some listeners who are part of a band. Send me a song that's pretty good. You may have heard it, but not everybody's heard it. It's called Take 'Em to the Woodshed, and it's about the Saints, and it's about coming into the dome and treating the other team that comes into the dome like you're taking them to the woodshed. But, I mean, even though we're playing at Carolina next Monday night, a week from tonight, I don't know, it still sounds good. So we're going to play that a little bit later. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Hopefully you had a great weekend. It is a beautiful and chilly Monday, December the 10th. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Did the Saints play after the blocked punt by Taysom Hill prove that emotion is a key to the Saints winning? 89% say yes, 11% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Last night I was at the airport on WWL Radio Facebook when the Saints arrived from Tampa Bay, and it was cold, it was windy, but man, people were out there. As cold as it was, though, you know, you had people out there with daiquiris. Some guy was walking around with like what looked like, you know, 2 6-packs of beer. I mean, it was like a party out there. People were bundled up. And it's so amazing how the fans get in the street. I mean, as they come out of the airport and they turn down this street to head toward the interstate, some of the Saints' cars are actually rolling up on the curb on the other side because the fans are so far out in the street that if the Saints weren't rolling up on their cars and trucks weren't rolling up on the side there, they'd be hitting fans. I mean, it's really something to see. And if you can't make it out there, that's why we try to make it out there and bring it to you. And if you haven't seen it, it's still going viral on our Facebook page, WWL Radio. So this happened about 7 o'clock last night. So you can just scroll down when you get to our Facebook page and figure out about when it happened. You know, it's just the cars, and you see some of the players, and you see Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis too that I remember seeing. see Dennis Allen. You see some of the players. Some of the windows are darkened, shaded, and you can't see the players. In other cases, the players have the windows rolled down, and they're taking video of the fans greeting them. So, I mean, the players really do love this. And I don't remember this happening in other cities. I mean, unless a team won the championship, I don't remember this happening in other cities. But, I mean, there are people who even show up if the Saints lose. But there was a big crowd out there last night. It was fun being there. And just to see how dedicated some fans are. And it's got to make the players feel great that they get off the plane, they're in their car, they just won a I would call it a tough game because that was no gimme. I mean, the Saints were not doing well. But boy, when they put it together, they put it together. And this just goes to show you that when that emotional aspect of the Saints is clicking, nobody can beat them. And Chicago beat the Rams last night. So, you know, there again, I think the weather probably played a role in that. You know, 'cause Southern California boys, even though some of the players are from other parts of the country. But you get up in that cold weather in Chicago, and it's tough to play there. And so the Chicago Bears beat the Rams. So the Saints and the Rams are tied, this is my understanding, tied for first place in the NFC. But the Saints have the tie advantage because they beat the Rams. So I guess technically that means the Saints are in first place in the NFC. But don't underestimate the challenges ahead. Tampa Bay is a good team. I mean, they're not playing great right now. They seem kind of disheveled, but they have the potential to be a really good team. And if they come into the game at home on Monday Night Football with the right attitude, they can beat the Saints if the Saints don't have the right attitude. So, that's not a gimme. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers come to town after that. And, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not only is Pittsburgh tough, but is that not the ugliest team in the NFL? I mean, if you line those guys up, are they not ugly? I mean, overall, that's got to be the ugliest team in the NFL. And the black and yellow uniforms seem to go with their ugliness, but they're just, I mean, from Ben Roethlisberger on down, they're ugly. Guys are ugly, and they play ugly. Anyways, so I mean, that's going to be a crazy time in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And then we end the season at home in the Dome against the Panthers. So a lot to still play for. And while the Saints don't mathematically have to win all three games, it sure would be nice if they did. Look, once they secure home field advantage, I don't care what happens after that. But if you've got a chance in the NFL to secure home field advantage and you don't, yeah, shame on you. All right, I want to dedicate this song to not only the Bucks, but I want to dedicate this song today to the Los Angeles Rams. Yes, bad day. Oh, I think I just said, I'm getting some text saying that I said Tampa Bay Monday night. No, I meant Carolina. Well, I know it was over in that direction. You know, there's Tampa Bay, and then you go a little north, and then it's Charlotte. So, yeah, I meant to say in Carolina, not Tampa Bay. We finished with Tampa Bay. And we did get revenge from them beating us in the first game of the season. That felt good. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870, and we'll be back on WWL. Remember this song? Just, hey, yes, get out of the way. The Yin Yang Twins. I think this song originated in Atlanta, but, you know, who cares? Saints, big win yesterday. Saints are 11-2. And, you know, you watched the first half of that game, and you wondered, okay, what happened to our Saints? They did not come back after the loss to the Cowboys. They didn't come back even after the second half. A fumble. Tampa Bay recovers, and our defense holds them because they were deep in Saints territory. Our defense holds them to a field goal attempt, which was no good. So that was really awesome. And then it was the blocked punt by Taysom Hill that just sent the Saints soaring. In fact, we've got a special song that we're going to dedicate to Taysom Hill going into this next break here. Here is a text that says, Scoot, you meant to say Carolina, not Tampa Bay. Yes, I did. We've already corrected that. Here's a text that says, "Stop being a bully, LOL. They can't help being ugly." Well, that's true. I mean, the Steelers can't help being ugly, but, I mean, they are the ugliest team in the NFL. And I've always thought that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it starts with Ben Roethlisberger. But, I mean, I just think the guys are ugly. I mean, I think you look back on some Rocky Blyer. You look back on some of the past Steelers. They were ugly. Terry Bradshaw, ugly. Nice guy, but I mean, look, they're an ugly team. And they're from Pittsburgh, which is really, by the way, a fine city. It really is. People think just horrible things about Pittsburgh, but it really is a very, very cool place. So, yeah, the ugliest team will be coming after the Saints play Carolina, by the Panthers in Carolina, 1 week from tonight. Here's what Sean Payton had to say. Look, there's a lot of music noise in the background, but here was Sean Payton after the game talking about the two games that the Saints played yesterday.
Look, it was kind of two different games, really. The first half, we hung in there defensively. We struggled offensively and, took kind of a big play in the second half, the block punt. And all of a sudden, to be able to win a game maybe where you didn't play your best in one certain area or another was significant. Thought the defense after the first drive really played exceptionally well. Thought the special teams won that battle. And then I felt like offensively, we finished, and so it was a good win, obviously an important win.
A very good win, an important win. The Saints clinched the NFC South. We've won the division. It's great to see that little. I guess it would be a Y. It's the Y that goes by the name, and then an X when you, like, I don't know, when you clinch something else. But I think when you clinch the division, you get a Y by a little small case Y by your name on the standings. So the Saints have done that, and it was great that the Bears beat the Rams last night. The Rams look like the Saints did against the Cowboys, and so it's nice to know that they are fallible. Of course, we proved it because we beat the Rams. So, you know, as long as the Saints have the opportunity to control home field advantage, I mean, that goes a long way toward actually getting to the Super Bowl. Because mathematically, I think there's a scenario where we could go through Chicago. We don't want to do that. It wouldn't even be fun to go through L.A., but that would be better than going through Chicago in January. So if the Saints can have the playoffs go through the Superdome, that is going to be awesome. And if they have that ability, then that's why they need to just be really up for every single game until that happens. Once that happens, you know, I don't care what happens after that point. Hey, look, you know, there's a lot going on with Trump. There really is a lot of stuff closing in. Not necessarily on Trump, but on a lot of people around him. And, in fact, I think it was an op-ed in the New York Times saying, asking the question, is this the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency? You know, I don't know if he's going to be impeached. I don't know if this is going to touch him. But I'll tell you, there's some people around him, including his kids, who seem to be really close to the fire. So, you know, we're watching that, but I'm not going to get into that this afternoon. There's plenty of time to talk about that. But it was an exciting game to watch yesterday afternoon. And really, it all sparked. It all started. The fire lit when Taysom Hill flew through the air. He stretched his arms out, and he flew through the air, going airborne and blocking the punt. And so we dedicate this song to Superman. In fact, I think it's time for Cam Newton to drop that whole Superman stuff, because the title now belongs to Taysom Hill. Not just because of that play, but because of everything he does. And I was disappointed that he wasn't a bigger part of the game early on. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, this was the moment that sparked the Saints to victory. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. So I get a text here. I admit, I said the Pittsburgh Steelers are the ugliest team in the NFL. They're going to be in town after we play the Panthers in Carolina. Got a text here that says, Scoot, have you looked in the mirror? Talk about ugly. OMG, you beat them all. Well, you know, this is a controversy that's going on for a long time, whether or not who's uglier, me or Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, this has been a controversy since Ben Roethlisberger, because I was in radio before he got into football. But ever since he got into football, there's been this big debate, who's uglier, Ben Roethlisberger or Scoot? And you know, beauty is very subjective, so it really depends on you. I'm sure there are a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans that think he's a lot better looking than I am. him. And, you know, I'm no one to judge. It's not for me to decide if I'm better looking than Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, that's, you know, again, one of the debates that has continued. And obviously it's continuing to this day. Here is a text that says T. Hill was not used much against Dallas. You know, you can't help but think that Sean Payton maybe has some plans for the playoffs, and he doesn't want to show those plans now. But, I mean, you got to win home field advantage, and then you can start saving stuff. So I hope that there's a good reason why Taysom Hill was not seen much in the game yesterday and much in the game last Thursday against the Cowboys. And here's a text, and this is so true. Lynn Swann was a great wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Says, Lynn Swann is handsome. Yes, he is. And, you know, I mean, you can look at a litter of ugly puppy dogs. They might all be ugly, but, you know, one of them's cute. So, okay, Lynn Swann was really cute, but I still contend the Steelers are the ugliest team in the NFL. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're going to talk about a guy who is screaming, there's no such Santa, in front of a bunch of kids. That's next on WWL.